Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the podcast. This, of course, is Stinchfield. I'm Grant Stinchfield. Great to be along with you. Stinchfield 1776 on just about all the social media platforms. But I want to talk today about, well, bird flu, but also government overreach. What's behind all of this? And now they're having this big bird flu summit, a convention. They're going to bring in all of these pandemic oligarchs, I'm sure, to Washington, D.C. in the beginning of October to figure out how they can oppress all of us. My assessment is that's what's going to happen. So we're going to talk about that today. The podcast, of course, is brought to you by The Wellness Company. If you don't have these prescription medication kits on hand now when we're talking about this planned pandemic that I believe will unfold, there is some bird flu medications in these kits, by the way, that can help you. So visit for that. But also, any medical emergency. I've got ammunition, I've got food, I've got water, I've got power generation in case of an emergency. Now I have prescription medications. If you don't have prescription medications as part of your preparedness plan, you and your family are behind the eight ball. TWC.health/Grant. Use the promo code Grant for 10% off, and we're grateful for The Wellness Company for their sponsorship of this program. We got Dr. Drew Pinsky with us. Let's get the show started.
Uncensored and unapologetic. This is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks. Well, as promised, Dr. Drew is with us. Doc, as always, it's so good to see you.
Thank you, Grant. Pleasure to be here.
All right. So it's interesting. Before we came on, you said, have you heard about this bird flu summit that's happening?
Yeah.
What do you make of this? October, I'm sure all of the World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, CDC, FDA, everybody is going to be in Washington, D.C.
My first question was, who are the sponsors? That was the first thing I asked. I was like, who's behind this? I could not find any indication of Big Pharma's fingerprints, but I promise you they will be involved. They will have they set up these booths. Trust me, the booths will be there. And probably they are funding this on some level. And people get the pleasure of paying $1,000 to go to this thing. So, Grant, it seems like a bargain. Maybe you want to go check it out. It's $1,000 to go to Washington to become a hammer so you can run around looking for a nail. That's literally what it's all about.
You know, the last thing I want to do is pay $1,000 to go to that. But I might just do it for content. Can you imagine what we're going to be able to pull out of that conference? Yeah. And I'm sure they will fall back. And I've got some sound bites for you, too, about bird flu that I want to get your reaction to. But I'm sure they will fall back on the old tried and true method that they used in 2020 to lock us all down. And lo and behold, we got an election coming up.
Yep. 100%. That not just an election, but we want to be ready. We don't want to be behind the eight ball. We've learned how. Remember, mostly, hey guys, I've got people walking in front of the camera. Turns out this is live on camera.
I'm going to go full with Dr. Drew so I can see the people.
I told
walking.
Him, I wasn't sure if this was going to be on camera or not. So walk in front of the camera. Don't worry about it.
But you sure it's not? Is it Corolla jealous that it's just you and me that he's not coming on with you? Is that who it is?
Oh, he'll call me if you want to talk to him. He'll be on the horn here in any minute. So he calls me every morning. So he gets pissed when I don't pick up. So if you want to talk to him, I'll pick up. But be that as it may, but in fact, I have a way. I think I can link my phone in right straight into your system.
Oh, it would be hilarious if we got him on too. That would be great.
All right. If he calls, I'll pick up.
Okay.
So back to the bird flu and what they're up to. Look, I understand. What I was going to say was that this is a group who, for the most part, still has a, let's call it a philosophy or a belief system, which remains that we didn't lock down hard enough, fast enough, quickly enough, that we didn't mandate extraordinary measures of distancing and masking. This is a delusion. This is unfortunately a delusion. And now you're starting to hear it from the decision makers at the time, like Collins and Redfield, who were starting to admit mandates was a bad idea, masking probably had no purpose, that the distancing was completely arbitrary and made up. Now, and let me be clear, that the really interesting part is, I don't like people to run all the way to one side of the boat or all the way to the other. So we got to stay in reality, everybody. It's hard, I know, when You're being mandated, and government is doing things that you never imagined they could do, and they're doing these things to you. I can't get over that either. I can't get over it, but I still want to stay in reality. And the reality is, if we did 60-foot distancing, massive ventilation systems, and wore a tightly fitting N95 mask so you never saw a stream of condensation on my glasses, for instance, one, if I wore that mask 100% of the time, except when I was outdoors, well, and 60-foot distancing and the massive ventilation, well, that would do something. And the probability of being able to do that on 350 million people is zero. Yeah. It is zero. It's just not ridiculous. It's just, you cannot contain a respiratory virus. So that's that.
It sounds to me like what you're saying, if I lock myself in my house and nobody comes visits me and I don't see anybody, well, then I'm not going to get sick from anybody.
Even then, this thing can, these respiratory, if your neighbor gets sick, there are cases where it has traveled big distances, not, you know, outdoors when the wind's blowing, obviously, but if you're in a condo complex or something, this is not necessarily going to work. And it's just insane. So here's the deal. And by the same token, everyone that is very, very down on the vaccine, and I'm sympathetic, and I'm trying to understand exactly what happened and what the risks are, but during Alpha and Delta, if you were 85 years old, you probably got some benefit out of that. Even if this vaccine causes cancer 10 years down the line, you as an 85-year-old are not going to see that. So it probably helped you. By the same token, you're a 22-year-old male with a 1 in 1,500 chance of myocarditis and a zero risk from COVID. What in the world are we doing? So when you get right down to it, Grant, the bottom line is, and this is why I don't like the summit. This is it. These organizations and all the previous preparedness plans for epidemics and pandemics were built on the CDC and the bureaucratic organizations being advisory to the practice of medicine. But the practice of medicine needs to go on and be done one doctor with one patient. There can be all sorts of suggestions around that, but to take it from on high, from 3,000 miles away, and thus saith the Lord on how a doctor treats a patient, that's why you see the wellness company under my name here. Because we got to get stuff back in the hands of patients lest this should ever happen again.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, one of the things is clearly government started taking over for doctors, as you're saying there. And that just isn't the role of government.
No,
well,
it was never meant. They threw away their own pandemic preparedness plan in the name of, let's call it what it was, a totalitarian instinct, a totalitarian sort of, privilege that they felt they had the privilege to invoke the absolute authority of God. And that is, I can't get over it. You can't get over it. No one should be able to get over that.
All right. So one of the things they did was invoke the use of testing. And we had this massive amounts of testing. I think it was a money play to sell the kits and all of this. Well, this is Deborah Birx recently on one of the cable networks. She was part of the problem here with this pandemic response. Let me play this clip for you. And it just seems like a trip down memory lane. Listen.
Tests and milk. I'm getting questions from my friends who are also moms. Is this safe? Is it not? What is the level of concern right now about that potentially becoming a pandemic?
Well, thank you, Casey, because this is why I'm really concerned, because we're making the same mistakes today that we made with COVID.
Okay.
And what do I mean by that? We're not testing to really see how many people have been exposed and got asymptomatically infected. We should be testing every cow weekly. You can do pooled PCR. We have the technology. The great thing about America is we're incredibly innovative, and we have the ability to have these breakthroughs. We could be pool testing every dairy worker. I do believe that there's undetected cases in humans because we're once again only tracking people with symptoms. When we did that with COVID, the virus spread throughout the Northeast undetected because it took a long time to get to the vulnerable individuals. But in the meantime, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were infected with asymptomatic or mild disease and never came to medical attention. We have to switch from symptoms to actually definitive laboratory testing. We have the capacity to do that today.
All right, Dr. Drew, again, with the testing, she says every cow, every day, every dairy worker for the bird flu, by the way, which we don't even know if it's transferring to animals yet, correct?
From animals to humans. Well, we have three cases, one with a case of conjunctivitis. So here, there's so much embedded in that statement that I want to get at. And let me just state the medical part first, which okay. So far, this thing has got a few cases in dairy workers. It doesn't cause illness yet that we can see. Now, could it, whenever they start worrying about it being very contagious or very pathogenic, I immediately think to myself, oh, you must know something I don't know, that the virus is being manipulated somewhere, and you need to tell me about that so then I can adjust my perspective on this. But if it's just a naturally occurring virus, which it appears to be, why are you saying this in public? Why does anybody know what your opinion is in public? She should be saving this for the advisors in the CDC. They should reach a consensus. They should send out a newsletter to us, and it should not be discussed in the public press, because the only thing it's going to do is create panic. That is her only intent. She is an evangelist. She is dangerous. She is who brought us lockdown. She went around the country evangelizing for lockdowns and got her way. That whenever physicians are evangelizing on any topic, opiates, for instance, that's how we got the opiate crisis, run the other way. She should be staying within our profession. There should be there. This 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you would not look when we had H1N1 outbreak. Did you know that happened? Were you aware that it even happened? That was a serious pandemic. And the Obama administration wisely elected that we'll continue our pandemic preparedness plan, which is we organize, we advise, we prepare, and we shut the hell up and we let doctors do their job. The fact that this goes out into the public press is disgusting.
Well, advise, organize, all great. Now what's happened is they weaponize. Weaponize seems to be the number one goal there of all of this nonsense, Dr. Drew.
But she believes she's doing God's work, right? She's an evangelist. And I don't mean evangelist in a religious sense. I mean, she's evangelizing for a medical topic. And she thinks she knows better than the rest of us and that we should all listen to her. See how dangerous that is?
Do you think she really believes this, or is she working for Big Pharma and knows they're going to sell tests and knows that the Democrats are going to benefit off mail-in ballots? And is she doing that kind of work?
I doubt it. If that's, I'm certain there are those that are enthusiasts for her involvement because of those sorts of motivational priorities. I don't believe she's sinister. I believe she's deluded, and I believe she thinks she's doing God's work, and she is harming people. And this again is the thing for physicians, whatever they do. I don't care if they're, and by the way, the whole project of public health should be called into question for people. They brought us the food pyramid. They brought us third-hand smoke, which is a bizarre, nothing idea. They brought us so many horrible ideas this is just another one. Public health really is impaired, and that's what we should be looking at what is the project of public health in the first place, and it should not be what she's doing.
I think we've reached a real tipping point when you have guys like me, who I consider myself a reasonable guy, but I'm maybe a little more suspect of people than you are.
We could argue that.
Of course we could. There's many people that would argue that. But I feel like I am. Just the sheer fact that I suspect that there's a good possibility that she's being sinister, Fauci was sinister. There's times where I've always been skeptical of people. I'm a New York Italian guy. I'm half Italian. And don't let Stinchfield give it away. Minervini was my mom's maiden name. Half Italian New Yorker. I'm skeptical of everybody, including that. But I never would have thought what government did to us back to 2020. I don't think I ever would have believed it until now.
Never. Not in a million years. I completely agree with you. It's such a shock. And my peers and public health system and the CDC. Look, people forget. I was criticized and canceled for saying, calm down, don't listen to the press, shut up, just stop this. And I tried, comparing it to H1N1, which was killed 300,000 people, and you didn't know what happened. I kept saying, hey, this one that killed 300,000 happened 15 years ago. I had it. It was brutal. It was really a rough illness. And you didn't know what happened. Do we really have to go all the way to DEFCON 4 for this one? I don't know. I don't think so. But I kept saying the same thing. And whenever videos were sent out trying to make fun of me, they always left off this part. And this is the part I got wrong, okay? The only part I said that they'd cut off on every, and I would say it at the end of every comment I would make, which was, and it's wrong, listen to Dr. Fauci, listen to the CDC. They'll get us through this. I worked with them through the AIDS pandemic. They really were a useful. And guess what was different during the AIDS pandemic? They used some of the same strategies, I'm realizing in retrospect, mm-hmm. fear, things like that, which I willfully adopted, my mistake. But they were advisory. They were there in leadership role. They didn't tell us what to do. They advised us what to do. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they became these authorities. And, you know, and it's when I see Chris Cuomo now running around getting hammered for some of the things he said on public on CNN, I don't think these people, I wonder if they really realized the impact they were having on people. They were sort of granted this authority that I don't know how that happened even, but I'm not sure they were aware of it.
You know, I know you go on with Cuomo all the time. I don't know him, but I've been in the same business for a long time. I basically got canned from Newsmax because I wouldn't adopt a couple different positions. One, I wouldn't attack Tucker Carlson, and my view on Ukraine was a little different. And in the end, their company, no big deal. We left fine, but I would not change what I believe. And I always, maybe to my detriment at sometimes, but I really do feel like I've got to stand firm for what I believe in. I worry guys like Cuomo, others in the media, they see what the public kind of wants or who their friends in government want. They're clearly Democrats. They're clearly liberals. And then I hear Cuomo come out and say, oh, ivermectin's great. I'm taking it. Now, because he's at News Nation, they're trying to harness maybe some of my people, some conservatives. I don't know what the guy believes anymore. I just worry he's just a propagandist. You know him far better than I do. What do you think?
I'm not sure. I want to be fair to him. He's a very smart guy, and he may, it's hard to say, you know, because when you get in these, because I worked at CNN for many years, you got to remember I had an HLN show every night, and there was never any, until I said something that wasn't in line with their thoughts about Hillary Clinton, and then I got crushed. And all I said was I didn't criticize her. I criticized her doctors who were doing a questionable job taking care of her brain bleed, her brain clot. No one ever told us what to say, but there was definitely a culture kind of flying around, you know, and the executive producers were kind of in charge, and the segment producers were usually 23-year-olds just following direction. Right. And then the on-air talent was often just reading the prompter. I remember I used to get in very big fights from we had an Atlanta production producers, and they would set up these stories and they would put stuff on the prompter and they would go, and then you're going to say, and then you're going to say, and then you're going to say. And I said, no, I don't know what I'm going to say. Just set up the topic and I'll say what I say. Right. Stop it. And this went on for like a year until I got rid of everybody from Atlanta. I was like, I can't do this. And so it's a weird thing. So they are responding to their audience. Yeah. So when you add the score of what I'm describing, you are responding to your audience in some way. But why the way they did it and why feed into a frenzy and a delusion and a mass psychosis? I'm always trying to make sense of it, Grant. It was a very mystifying experience those years.
They were really part of the problem. And this goes beyond just FDA, CDC issues. The media becomes so here's what I've concluded now, and I don't know what you think about this. It used to be the conservatives like me would say, oh, the Democrats control the media. And they are, the media is the arm of the Democrat Party. I have had a total reversal on this, Dr. Drew. I believe the media controls the Democrat Party. I believe the media is the one with the power. They set the agenda. They set what they want people to talk about. They decide who's going to win or lose elections. The media is the one that's in charge of the Democrats.
That's interesting. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I want to ruminate on that for a while. That one I need to sort of simmer with that because it probably cuts kind of both ways, but you're on to something here. There is something to that. And you know what, because of their excesses, much like the excesses we're seeing with the gaslighting in the government right now, They blew everything apart. Yeah. They blew apart their not just their legitimacy, but they sent audiences and hosts like yourself or me into all kinds of alternative medias. And thank you. Thank you. It's allowed us to be more creative and to create things and to be more free and to be more deliberate in what we're saying. And now you have Rumble and you have, you know, all the, and X is now a free. I guess on some level we should be, as mortifying as it was, we should be thanking them on some level.
Yes, because it is true. I mean, my brand has now become my brand. It's not really owned by another big giant conglomerate. Yeah. And so that opens up some freedom for us. So speaking of that, you are now aligned with the wellness company. And I want to tell people about these emergency medical kits because I know you're a big fan of them. I am too. And these things are great. And every family should have one in their home. I don't know of any other place where you can get prescription medications sent in the amount that you do to keep in your house in case of an emergency. I don't know any doctors that'll send this out except the wellness company. TWC.health/Grant. Use the promo code Grant for 10% off. And again, as I always say, I've got ammunition, I've got water, I've got food, and I have power generation in case of emergencies. Call me a prepper. I don't care. I'm ready for anything. And this includes prescription medications. And I only added that to my list after I was really made aware of this from the wellness company. So again, TWC.health/Grant. Use that promo code Grant for 10% off. And Dr. Drew, you know, the other side of the wellness company is you have access to doctors that are critical thinkers and free thinkers. And that's huge these days.
Telehealth, one of the great, like nothing is all good or all bad. And one of the great advances that came out of COVID was that telehealth was unleashed. And it is astonishing how effective, I'm amazed at how effective physicians can be through telehealth. And I myself have been practicing through telehealth. And that's part of the wellness company's operation. And the other thing, I've seen 12-step really explode and people have lower thresholds to going to these 12-step meetings. They can keep their cameras off that they want. They don't feel any shame or humiliation. So I've seen that explode. So I'm pleased with the whole thing. Yeah. But the term I have coined just spontaneously talking to somebody on the radio the other day is rational readiness. I think we need to be rationally ready. And so in keeping with that, we put the Tamiflu in one of our emergency kit. If that flu, the bird flu virus does end up being something that begins to transmit, this is what Deborah Burke should be talking about. Hey, everybody, here are the symptoms of the bird flu. Here's how you can ready yourself. Here's how you can reduce your risk. That was always their role. And we are trying to fill in where they are failing miserably. And let's be clear, Tamiflu is not a great medication for the bird flu, but it has some efficacy and we want to be rationally ready. And so each of our kits is sort of set up with that in mind. Like the travel kits, I was instrumental in designing that. And we were, you know, everything I give my patients when they travel, particularly to outskirts of the world, this is all in the kit. Or Dr. Kelly Victory was with us in developing one of the emergency kits. And we were able to source things like EpiPen at great prices for patients. So it's all being done on behalf of the patient. Yeah. You know, the physician-patient relationship has been so adulterated that we have to really put things in the hands of the patients.
It's an amazing company, and I'm great and honored to be aligned with it as well. All right, back to this idea of bird flu. So the overreaction comes, and I've talked to Dr. McCullough about this. He seems mortified by this idea that this mass culling of birds, they are killing Australia. They're like killing thousands and thousands of birds. Well, I want to play this little clip. This was a group of doctors talk about the bird flu, and then I think this guy may be an animal activist, but what he says is actually, you know, seems to me to be spot on. I'll play it for you and then get your reaction.
Considering the fact that the chicken industry has been making record profits recently, why is it that the USDA is spending billions of taxpayer money to bail those companies out? They're doing fine on their own. This is an operating expense for them. Not something the public should
be paying for.
So he was talking about the USDA paying for some of this stuff and the killing of birds and all these things. Why is the government getting involved in helping these big giant farms to ultimately cull flocks of of birds. Seems crazy to me.
It seems crazy to me too, but it seems no less crazy than so many of the other extraordinary sorts of of interventions that people are taking and spending taxpayer money, not the least of which is what Deborah Birx was advocating on that talk show or whatever she was on there, that news show, which is test every cow in America or whatever it is. You can imagine the cost of that. Meantime, what about our citizens? Are we gonna help them ever?
No.
Incredible.
No. All right, before I let you go, because I found this news conference that I actually thought you might get a kick out of. Here, you ready for this, Dr. Drew?
I am.
Here we go.
Good morning, all chickens, hens, roosters, and anyone in the bird community. On the advice of Dr. Kerry Chicken, we have decided on guidelines to ensure that all birds stay safe with the current bird flu outbreak. Firstly, all flock gatherings are limited to 5 birds per flock, and all birds must practice social distancing, flying at least 5 meters apart. I know this one might ruffle a few feathers, but all chickens are now required to wear masks at all times. Whether you're outside laying eggs or free ranging in the field, you must be wearing a mask. All chickens and birds must remain within a 5 kilometer radius of their coops, your nests and trees. If caught outside your 5 kilometers of the paddock, you will be fined $1,000. The feed store is off limits unless it's for essential grains only. There is to be no browsing in your local feed aisles. We'd like to encourage all birds to keep their peckers and claws sanitized regularly. If you see a chicken breaking any of these restrictions, we ask the public to please call Crime Stoppers at 1-300-BIRD-CRIME.
So,
hang on. Okay, hold on. Slow right. Clap. I mean, this is the future, everybody. I want you to mock. When you use satire and mockery, A, you see the insanity for all it is. It stands out in bold relief. And B, well, you hopefully shuts these people up because they are in some, they're in an altered state. There's something wrong. It's mass psychosis. We could talk about Matthias Desmond and all the mass psychosis. Let me just 2 seconds on that.
Yeah.
20% of the people get brainwashed very easily. They're helpless. We can't help them. 10%, like ourselves and your listeners, throw the BS flag and go, what's going on here? It's the 70% of the middle we need to bring on board. They just want to get along. They just want to live their lives, but we need their help. We need them to get to stand up and mock these people that are hypnotized.
Yes. You know, remember when do your own research was vilified? That was the craziest thing. Do your own research. How dare you do your own research? Yeah. But boy, it's the best advice going, Dr. Drew.
At least, you know, if you don't want to do your own research, at least find reliable sources. And how do you judge a reliable source? Consistently correct based on history and able to predict forward. People that have good predictive qualities in their understanding of the circumstance, that's a sign that you have somebody who understands it well.
Do you know they've run the numbers for my programs? I am correct 95% of the time. 5% I get it wrong. But 95%, we've run the numbers. It's an absolute fact. I'm right 95% of the time, Dr. Drew.
It sounds impossible, but I'll take your word for it.
There are many that would claim it's impossible, including my girlfriend and my son. I'm sure.
No way I'm right 95% of the time, for the record. They have a pretty good track record.
Hey, Dr. Drew, you're awesome, man. I appreciate you coming on as always. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
All right. And let me remind everybody as well again, if you're looking for the address for the wellness company, I want you to go. Oh, that's Dr. Drew's deal. Let me throw it here. The wellness company, twc.health/grant. Use that promo code GRANT for 10% off. And again, all the things that Dr. Drew talked about, you got the telehealth. But most importantly, I think these emergency medical prescription medication kits, they are fabulous to have on hand. Anecdotally, I've already used them on numerous occasions. I had strep throat like 2 weeks ago. I diagnosed myself with strep throat. I immediately go to the amoxicillin. Boom, 2 days later, I'm better. All those little white spots on the back of my throat, gone. This is speed of delivery. I've got it on hand. twc.health/grant. Use the promo code GRANT. I appreciate you all watching, everybody. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. We'll see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.